Hey folks, I'm Tom.
And I am the most interesting man in the world.
Oh,
just kidding, I'm Vince.
Oh. And we're two guys who know too much about pop culture, but not enough about beer. And we try some beers and explain them in a way that you may understand.
But that you probably won't. And it'll only make sense to us. Either way, we hope you'll be entertained.
Well, Vince, you kind of gave it away, but let's just say we're drinking
Dos Equis. I also love how true we were to Dos Equis and the fact that, like, whoever the most interesting man in the world was did not have, like, a traditional Spanish accent or Mexican accent at all. It was just pure, like, this is what a New Yorker thinks a Spanish man sounds like.
Well, it wasn't even, like, clear that he was Mexican.
No one's sure. That adds to the mystery.
He was the most interesting man in the world.
Yeah, it like varies.
Yeah. Vince, I'll just come right out and say this was probably my favorite commercial of all time.
It's up there. It's a top five. I think my favorite commercials are, of course, beer commercials. And we've had this conversation. We have to go in there. But from a campaign perspective, this is right up there with the Jordan and Mia Hamm Gatorade commercials.
Probably the Bud Light was up.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of memorable commercials. We're going to talk all about it. Let's take a step back and talk about Dos Equis.
All right. It's a lager especial.
That's right.
And it's brewed in Monterrey, Nuevo León, Mexico, at a brewery called Cervecería Cuauhtémoc Moctezuma.
Yeah, we're going to go with Cervecería Moctezuma.
Yeah, that'll work.
It's an Aztec word. Dos Equis Lager Especial. They do have two main flagships, but...
Oh, what's the other?
Amber.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. That does check out.
This is the more well-known one.
4.2%.
This is light. I mean, this is, as they say, it's a lager that drinks like a pilsner.
Ooh.
I say we just crack it open, Vince.
Why not? Why not? RJ, we are on a roll.
Oh, yeah. We're cracking it quick.
Cheers, Tom.
Cheers.
Oh, it smells terrible.
I love it.
It smells like dog puke.
I didn't even bother sniffing it. I know I'm going to like this.
You love Mexican lagers.
I do. This is our second trip to Mexico. We reviewed Pacifico.
Yeah.
I talked all about my relationship with that.
It's our third Mexican lager, though.
Yeah, we did El Soli from 21st Amendment. You didn't really like either of those. You thought Pacifico was fun.
I don't love Mexican lagers. And to be honest, I think you are a permanent prisoner of the moment, to use a term that I'd never heard before you used. What is so good about these to you?
I definitely think with this one, I am a victim of the marketing. Like, I got sucked into the marketing for it, for sure. I've talked about my nostalgia for Mexican lagers based on some past trips. There's enough of a difference between that and a Bud Light and a Miller Light where it's, like, easy to drink for me. And with a lime in particular, on a nice hot day, I can just throw these back. I remember being so psyched to drink this when I was growing up.
Really?
Yeah. And it's, again, because of the marketing, but I want to talk a little bit about the brewery. So if you look at the actual design, there's an Aztec insignia in between the two X's. That is Moctezuma, who was the last leader of the Aztecs. So they built this whole brand around that. And Vince, what did we talk about in a recent episode? A German immigrant named Wilhelm Haas arrived in Mexico and founded the Moctezuma Brewery in Veracruz.
Unreal.
These German guys, they just left Germany.
I wonder why.
I imagine this is what it's like when, like, the washed-up college basketball guys, like, go to Bosnia to play pro hoops.
Oh, no, I thought you were going to say to the YMCA.
You couldn't make it in your country. Now you got to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
But that was in 1890, and in 1897, he brewed what was called the Siglo Double X, which is now known as Dos Equis Amber.
I'm sorry. What the hell was he doing for 7 years?
Probably drinking a lot of beers in Mexico.
How? He was technically a pioneer.
I don't know. But the Siglo Double X was to commemorate the upcoming 20th century. So that's why it's called Dos Equis.
Okay.
20th century.
Cool.
Century being siglo in Spanish. And then there's about a 100-year gap in their history on their website. 1983, fast forward, Dos Equis Lager Especial comes to America. And it didn't do that great.
Shocker.
Which is why they invented this character, the most interesting man in the world. So that campaign starts in 2007.
There are a lot of gaps in this history.
I'm just getting rid of that.
I'm
just telling you, you're gonna like this. The guy who was cast, his name is Jonathan Goldsmith. He's an actor.
Where is he from, Tom?
He's from New York.
Yep.
He's a Jewish guy from New York.
Yep.
And all he was told for the audition was that he had to end his like improvised monologue with, "And that's how I arm wrestled Fidel Castro."
Nice.
And I guess for 30 minutes, he just went off on this like soliloquy of sorts.
And he removed a sock?
He removed a sock. No explanation. And I don't know what happened in these 30 minutes, but it was enough for him to get the job.
Okay.
30 minutes of solo improv. You think you could do that?
I don't think anybody wants me to do that, quite frankly. And I'm quite certain that at about minute 15, everyone in that room was like, "Oh boy, how do we get him to leave?"
Here's the thing. They have facts to back this up. They went from an unknown American import to the fastest growing import in the U.S. Sales went up by 15% the first year of this campaign. And, I mean, anecdotally, I feel like it was one of those things that people were, like, constantly talking about commercial-wise.
It was a great campaign.
It was funny. It was kind of irreverent. It was silly. And it was memorable. I mean, I don't always drink beer, but when I do, I prefer Dos Equis.
Stay thirsty, my friends.
So easy.
Like you see, and he rolls the one R. He rolls the R in thirsty, but then it's friends. Friends, like he's at a deli and the Upper West Side.
So here's the thing. They got acquired by Heineken in 2017, the company. They're okay. Still thriving, so they're now part of that brand. They've had some slight like logo adjustments, and they retired the character of the most interesting man in the world in 2017.
I bet they bring him back like Jake from State Farm.
I think that would be welcomed. I think people would be into that.
I don't know. I think people would still compare the two, and they would obviously go with like a younger, more suave version. It just like, I think it wouldn't play well.
Why don't you think it would play well? I'm curious.
Well, I don't think it would play well because A, how many more of these slogans can they come up with? You've got a list here of some pretty good ones.
Yeah.
Lay them on the people here.
Yeah. So all of these commercials were exactly the same. It was just like the voiceover of this guy's like traits. So like one of them being, "His blood smells like cologne. Sasquatch once took a picture of him. He can speak French in Russian." And it's just like all these little quips. I mean, what's your favorite one from the list that I assembled?
I love that he once parallel parked a train. And of course, sharks have a week dedicated to him.
That's one of the best ones. He bowls overhand.
Yeah, yeah. His beard alone has experienced more than a lesser man's entire body.
His business card simply says, "I'll call you."
I forgot about this one. He once had an awkward moment just to see how it feels.
If he were to punch you in the face, you would have to fight off the urge to thank him.
And all of these are so similar to the Chuck Norris joke.
Yeah, the Chuck Norris jokes. How did that even start?
Oh my God. The Ringer did a huge, long expose on it. It's one guy. It's literally one guy who made the first one, and it just kind of blew up. And I believe that he tried to make the definitive like Chuck Norris joke book, and he tried to make some pretty good coin off of it. And Chuck Norris himself was kind of like on board, but then something soured and changed, and his camp said, "No, he needs to be making more money out of this," and it ended up not working out. But Chuck Norris like originally hated it, and then he grew to embrace it.
I don't know him, but I imagine he's not a very sarcastic or ironic humor kind of guy. He seems pretty straightforward.
It's like if Dwight Schrute was cool.
Yeah, I'm looking up some old Chuck Norris jokes. Here's one. Chuck Norris doesn't read books. He stares them down until he gets the information he wants.
Nice.
Chuck Norris's tears cure cancer. Too bad he has never cried.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is like almost exactly the same.
Right.
What do you think would happen if those two guys ever met up?
I think that, you know what? Here's what I imagine happens. I imagine that they happen to be vacationing in the same Mexican resort. We'll call it Cancun, maybe Tulum. One of them sits down. Let's just say Chuck Norris sits down at the poolside bar. They've opened it for him because they know who he is. And so no one else is around, but he peers across the table and there is Jonathan Goldsmith. And they look at each other, both thinking that they were going to have this bar to themselves. And they go, God damn it. They raise their glasses and then they don't say another word to each other until they get home. They don't say another word at all until they get home to their significant others. And they go, you won't believe the shit that happened to me at the bar. That's it. That's all that happens.
There is one critical difference between the two men. And one of them is an actor.
Yeah.
Portraying a character whose exploits are only described in commercials and not actually seen. Whereas Chuck Norris was actually a legitimate like martial artist, athlete turned actor.
Yeah, but did we see any of these so-called exploits?
No, but at least with one guy, like I know that he's got something. Like he had real talent.
Whoa.
I have no idea what Jonathan Goldsmith actually
Don't
does.
Sell Jonathan Goldsmith short, okay? He was shot between the eyes by John Wayne. That's a real true fact. I didn't just make it up. And it took him 7 takes. They fired a blood pellet between his eyes.
Are you being serious?
I swear to God, between his eyes 7 times at point blank range.
I've never seen him in anything outside of these commercials. He was in movies?
Like minor roles in that. And he was just like really old TV, the kind of TV that like the Andy Griffith time, the kind of TV that drives my Nona wild.
Vince, let's try this out of the glass.
Why not? Think? Let's take it in the glass. Oh, wow. This looks like water when it's poured in. Whoa. Very clear. Dude, it's not even like, I can't even explain it. It's not even like big dog puke. It's very specifically like little dog puke it smells
like. So you're not liking it at all?
The smell is awful.
But is the taste good?
It's okay. It's kind of nothing, truthfully.
So this is probably the least of the three Mexican lagers, in your opinion.
Yes, but I mean, like talking about the shortest short person, you know what I mean.
I was nervous about doing this because I had such a fond memory of Dos Equis, and it was almost all in college that I had it. Like, I wasn't drinking Dos Equis constantly, but like I was drinking it like often enough.
How often? Give me an estimate.
Probably a couple of times a month.
A couple of times a month. I thought you were going to say a couple of times a week.
No, not a couple. Like every once in a while, like we would get like a 12-pack of Dos Equis and like have it like on the porch.
So Dos Equis was your treat beer.
Yeah, and like I have a friend of mine who like I was just at his place in Dallas and he had this in his fridge and I was like, I haven't had a Dos Equis in a long time. He's like, trust me, it's just how you remember it. And it was good, but like I think when I was 20, I was like, this beer is amazing.
Dude, I'm sorry, but that story was just ripe for... And then I woke up and I didn't know where my pants were.
No, it was a very tame evening, unfortunately. I feel like this brand has really weaponized nostalgia in a provocative way.
This brand is nostalgia.
They basically invented fake nostalgia for this beer to create interest in it successfully.
Yeah.
I would say wildly successfully.
Sure.
And this is exactly what Disney Plus is doing right now with the X-Men stuff. I don't know if you're locked in on this, but they just rebooted a show. It's called X-Men 97, and they literally just said,
oh,
hey,
yeah.
Remember that animated cartoon from when you were kids? Yep. Yeah, so they just said, we're just going to slightly update the animation for this, and it's going to pick up exactly where it left off. Same voice actors, same tone, same everything. People are going nuts for this right now. And I feel like this is kind of the same thing with Dos Equis.
Except people aren't going nuts for Dos Equis right now, except you in this room. We're talking past tense. Jordan's not walking through the door, pal.
Jonathan Goldsmith's not walking through that door. Jonathan Goldsmith's not walking. Yeah, I'm like a little bit exaggerating how much I'm enjoying it, but like I am still enjoying this beer.
You will never not enjoy a Mexican lager. I could piss in a Mexican lager and you'd be like, ah, reminds me of when I was 16 and I had four of these behind my dad's back.
You're probably right. Yeah.
You know, like,
I don't
it's
know.
It's so nostalgic for you, and that's fine.
I don't know how to separate my feelings on that.
So how can you, and I, to be honest, it's I'm now having the opposite effect where you like it so much and I don't get it enough that it makes me not even like,
it's
I can't
driving
taste
you
this.
Farther away.
Yeah, yeah, I can't taste this without just this like, what's going on with this guy's palate?
I have this fascination and attachment with this type of beer, and I don't think that's ever going to change.
That's fine. I have that fascination and obsession with sours, fruited sours specifically. So I understand. I just, at the same time, I don't understand at all.
Yeah. That's all well and good. I think the other thing I'll say about the character, most interesting man in the world, like hyper masculine, all-knowing men, not super in right now. I don't know how well that would be received if that had just started today.
Yeah, I think it would be okay. I mean, looking at all of these, none of them are very, they're all pretty tame. They're all pretty related to just like hard things to do.
Yeah, it's not like coming from a bad place. It's silly, but it's definitely like, look how fucking cool and awesome this one mysterious man is, you know? Like, they tried to bottle that into an essence.
Well, I'll tell you what probably would get axed is he was constantly surrounded by beautiful women in those. That would probably go.
And they were all way younger than him.
Yeah, that's true. But you didn't really know his age either. Dude, I feel like I'm having a stroke because I smell this like crazy. And you don't seem to have any reaction at all.
I'm not smelling this at all. I'm not even going to waste my time.
Smell it right now. Do you see what I'm talking about?
It smells like just a beer, but the taste is good.
No.
No, I'm going to finish. You know what? I'm going to fucking
You can
pour
finish mine too. Why not? Here,
pour,
we'll double up.
Pour it in here.
We'll get them all the way in. We'll get them all the way in.
Vince, what else do you want to touch on aside from how much you hate the smell?
Well, okay, so.
You've made that quite clear.
All right, so here's a question for you. I think many actors point to a specific moment in time where they saw another actor really nail a role and said, that's when I knew I needed, not wanted, needed to be an actor. Do you think that anyone looked at this man in this commercial and said, that's what I have to do. I have to act.
I need to be a pitch man?
No. This is like, he's the inspiration for acting. And actually, I would love if, and I'm putting you on the spot here, I'd love for you to audition, do like the SNL. I'd love for you to audition for Dane Cook's role in Good Luck Chuck if this character was your inspiration for acting.
Okay, so I'm Dane Cook, and I'm just like...
In Good Luck Chuck. By the way, for those of you who don't know, Good Luck Chuck is the rom-com in which Dane Cook has sex with a woman, and then she immediately gets married.
All right, let me give this a shot. Yeah. So I'm trying to be Dane Cook, but my whole knowledge of acting is basically based on one
Your
guy.
Inspiration. Yeah. You have literally just been in the mirror combing your hair, going... I don't always drink beer.
Jessica Biel, listen to me.
Alba, it's Alba.
Jessica Alba.
Okay.
I'll call you whatever I want, okay? I want you to know that I've got a very interesting past, but I'm going to put that all behind now, especially here in this zoo full of penguins. Because, by the way, I can speak to all of them. You know, I understand penguins. They understand me. I am Good Luck Buck.
Oh, God.
And I don't always hang out with penguins, but when I do...
I drink Dos Equis.
I prefer Dos Equis.
Oh, my God.
All right. That was it. Put me on the spot.
We'll let you know.
We'll call you back. What? You want me to do it again? Should I do it again?
Let me try one more time.
One more thing. Who to you is the most interesting man in the world and the least interesting man in the world?
Okay. Right now? Okay. The least interesting man in the world to me has got to be Alan Greenspan.
Okay. I won't dispute that.
I mean, he was barely interesting when he was in charge of the Fed, but now he's got nothing going for him. So he's the least interesting.
Least interesting, yeah.
The most interesting man in the world. So, like, we'll define what makes a man interesting, right?
I mean, interesting is a vague word, but like someone who's just like doing a lot of stuff always. It doesn't mean you have to like them either.
Yeah.
But everything, it's like, wow, like that is crazy. You know, like one that comes to mind for me is Chris Hemsworth, because he had that like crazy Nat Geo show where he was basically like, I'm going to try to live forever. And then like,
yeah,
all this stuff.
That's what it was. It was like, join me, Chris Hemsworth, on a quest for me to live forever. And then in episode 7, I find out that I'm likely to die young.
I find out I might die in 50 years of Alzheimer's, but I'm going to act like
Alzheimer's.
I'm dying today.
Alzheimer's. That's not funny. Alzheimer's is not funny, but just like Australian people like, saying things.
Yeah,
is
and then
very
he like
funny.
Pretended to be an old person and like pretended to die. Like it was wild. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't watch that. Like what? And then he like came back and he was like, "Don't worry, I didn't die, you can imagine now what it'd be like if I did."
I have a totally different perspective on almost
perspective. Perspective. We're also like, I feel like we're going, I'm going full, God, who's the guy from Along Came Polly? The guy who's uninsurable?
Oh, yeah.
Come on, mate.
Yeah. I forgot what his name is, but yeah.
We're going parasailing.
We know
parachute.
The insurance subplot of Along Came Polly and the most...
Which was somehow more interesting than the romance itself.
Yeah.
Best part of that movie was Philip Seymour Hoffman.
You haven't answered who your most interesting
it's
man.
Philip Seymour. I'm just kidding. He's unfortunately passed on. To be honest, like, to me, the most interesting man in the world is like one where you sit there and you're like, oh my God, what on earth is he going to do next? And I hate myself for this answer. But it might be Donald Trump.
You know what? Like, it's not a bad answer.
Just purely because, and it's not even like, oh, what's he going to do that's so awesome? It's like, what irrational, ridiculous thing is he going to do now? Like, did you see when he posted about how he won his own golf club's championship? There were a lot of people there, and everyone saw me win. I can't believe it. I love it so much. Thank you very much, Joe Biden, for congratulating me.
If he had been in the ad campaign, it would have totally ruined
the whole bit. Oh, my God.
He would have not stopped. Everyone knows that I've parallel parked a train.
I've bowled overhand before. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something right now. Sharks are not very scary at all. They have a week dedicated to me. I once had sex with a shark. He would say that. During a presidential debate and say, I've fucked a shark.
The question was most interesting man, not someone we respect or like. I'm going to go with Chris Hemsworth for me and my least interesting, which I will not do an impression of, Mark Zuckerberg. That guy bores me to death.
He's doing a lot, though, for
he
somebody
is doing
who's
a
like,
lot,
he's like, he's challenging Elon Musk to UFC fights.
You know what? If he does that, then I'll change my answer. But we're going with the Zucks.
If Elon Musk weren't so painfully like a tryhard, it would probably be him. But like, it is theater. Trump is theater. You say what you want, but you're like,
Trump is, unfortunately, for such a despicable person, one of the funniest people that's ever lived.
It's unbelievable.
It's crazy.
Oh, my God. Like, wait, are you kidding me? How do you not award that to a guy who says, the college football national champion are coming to the place? We're getting McDonald's.
I know. It's
If it's good enough for me, it's good enough for them.
I'm so glad we ended up here. Wow, this is great.
Yeah.
Let's give this a score, Vince. Why don't you go first?
Yeah, 2 out of 5, Vince's. This is not great. I don't love it. The smell is hard to get over. Everyone go out, buy a Dos Equis, take a whiff, and then put it back on the shelf.
Okay. I'm going to give this a 3.25 out of 5 Toms. What can I say? I'm a prisoner of my memories. I'm locked in a cell of Mexican lager nostalgia, and I can't get out, and the key's been thrown away. So,
who threw the key away, Tom? Who threw the key away? Was it you?
I swallowed it. Yeah. I don't know. I swallowed it.
I swallowed it. And believe me, it was very easy. Some people, they have a lot of trouble swallowing keys. Not me. I've been swallowing keys for the last 75 years, and I haven't pooped one of them out. They're all still in there. Doctors say I'm a modern marvel of medicine.
Unreal. Unreal. Vince, this has been a lot of fun. We don't do these types of impressions a lot.
He definitely tried to swallow the key to the White House when they told him he had to leave.
Oh,
good
man.
Luck. I've been swallowing keys and I haven't seen them.
Oh my gosh. Subscribe, rate, and review us on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. This has been one of the most interesting episodes we've done. And until next time, I'm Tom.
I'm Vince.
This has been Friday Night Beers, where we have clear eyes, full cans,
must booze.
Stay thirsty, my friends.
For something else, please.